Hello, welcome back to the Revolting Women podcast. And my God, do I have an interesting topic for us to discuss today. We're going to be talking about whether or not we as a society should be able to pity paedophiles. So I expect that this episode will not be controversial, but it's quite, I asked you guys on my Instagram story, I put a little poll up, I said, should we be able to sympathise with paedophiles? And I think when people think of paedophiles, they think sex offenders, right? They think of people that have offended already. But when I'm talking, I think I probably should have communicated this better. When I'm talking about paedophile, I just mean someone that is, like, attracted to children but has never acted on that, maybe has never sought help for it because of that, well, I suppose we'll talk about it later, but the legal requirement, yeah, for example, in therapy, if someone comes to you and says, oh, I'm attracted to children, I don't know what to do, they have to take it to the law, by law, in fact. But it's a really interesting debate. I think, obviously, there's a lot of controversy surrounding it because we have empowered so many people that have offended sexually children. For example, the whole scandal with, I think it's Prince Andrew, I don't know, it's one of the royals, probably more than we know about, but yeah, I think it's obviously got a really bad name for a good reason, obviously. But the reason for this episode is, you know, mostly out of just raw curiosity, but also because I remember in year 9 we were looking at, I don't know if it was specifically paedophilia, but that we were looking at something to do with the kind of morals and why we're I think it was some kind of like brain teaser, like should we pity paedophiles? Obviously at the time, being like 13, I was like no, you know, they're all filthy old men, you know, which the offenders generally, you know, fair enough, let's call them filthy old men. But when we, I think it's, or like I said before, it's not clearly communicated that I meant people who hadn't offended, for example, or people that were, you know, realised they were a paedophile and they're like, oh, now what do I do, you know? But anyway, my teacher was like, I kind of feel bad for paedophiles or like people that haven't offended or have never acted on that urge because, you know, your whole sexuality is a taboo. And obviously it's not okay to draw comparisons to that and being gay. But when we look at, for example, how in the, you know, 60s and 70s, people, you know, all of history before now were like, you know, being gay is wrong. It's just unnatural. It's perversion. But now we say that about paedophilia, which I think is for good reason, because, you know, obviously it's massively damaging to children, and there are countless other reasons. But it's a very interesting debate, and I think it's definitely worth looking into and thinking about why we, as a society, do not sympathise with those born or developing, or who have developed, attraction to minor people. I certainly think it's important that, firstly, we look at what actually is a paedophile, just to clear up, you know, dip our feet into the pool, let's have a quick look at this before we get into it all. So generally, this is from a study or from the page Psychology Today, they say that generally paedophiles are attracted to children under 13, like that's the general grouping for paedophiles. But what I actually discovered in my research is that there are different classes of paedophilia, there are different types of paedophilia. So obviously, when we say paedophile, we just mean anyone who is attracted to someone under the age of consent, which is 16. So there is, for example, I hope I'm saying this right, nepeophiles, which is very young children, so babies and toddlers, which sounds really, really disgusting to say, and it is. And there are also, a paedophile is just an umbrella term, so obviously pedo means child. And then there are also ephebiophiles, which is the attraction to children from the ages, I think, of 13 to 16, which almost seems not nearly as bad. It's interesting that we think of these things like, oh, the younger, the worse, but surely it should all be on a par. But anyway, psychology says that a paedophile can be classed as a sexual orientation or paedophilia. You can have a paedophilic sexual orientation, which is not the same as a paedophilic disorder. And this is not an opinion. This is factually how psychology views paedophilia. Obviously, that, you know, saying it's not a disorder doesn't mean it's not wrong morally. Obviously, paedophilic attraction is not something at all validated by our society, and rightfully so, obviously. So acting on your urges, or when paedophilia becomes so interventional in your life that it begins to, you know, interrupt your routines, you know, you won't go out for fear that you'll see a child and not be able to control yourself. So when it really starts to interfere with your life, that is when it becomes a disorder. And obviously when I read that, I was like, are you joking? Like, they're validating it as a sexual orientation. But it's like, could that not be massively useful? Like, to consider something either an orientation or a disorder, obviously we're looking at the difference between you know, discovering you're attracted to children, never acting on it, maybe even seeking help for it. So essentially being one of the good guys, being one of the better, you know, than acting on it and becoming an offender or a child molester in the eyes of the law. So it is estimated, I think this is not a global study, but a American study, that 3-5% of men in America are paedophiles. Whether that is, I think that is sexually attracted to children, not an actual offender, but this is of people that we know about, at least. Sorry, it's not estimated, it's from people that have sought help or have offended. So I think that's a mix of everyone that authority knows about being attracted to children. It's also suggested that 20% of American children have been molested, so it seems like that 3-5% of men have really done the rounds. Because 20%, like, that's massive. If I had a better maths GCSE, I would confidently say that's a fifth, and I think it, oh god, I don't know, maybe a sixth. Anyway, of children, which is really a very large amount. According to psychology again, a paedophile has to be 5 years older than the child they are attracted to, or the children that they're attracted to or have offended sexually. So, for example, a 17-year-old going out with a 12-year-old would be considered, in the eyes of psychology, a paedophile, or even, you know, an 18-year-old and a 13-year-old, which, I don't know why I said even, that's super gross, but I also feel like that's something that might pass, you know what I mean? Like, a 13-year-old, if I were in year 9 and my friend had, like, a cool older boyfriend, I'd be like, oh my god, that's so cool. But obviously now I'd be like, that's super dodgy, that's disgusting. Also, I think it's worth mentioning that, for example, I think it's quite big on Tumblr, obviously, the cesspool of repulsiveness. There is a subcategory, I suppose, of Tumblr accounts that are MAPS, and I don't know, so some of you will have heard this term before. It's minor attracted persons, peoples, there's an S on the end, I'm not sure what, minor attracted person, z, with an S, MAP sexuality. And that's, they consider that their own sexuality. And it's kind of, obviously, when you say, oh, I'm a minor attracted person, it doesn't sound half as bad as saying, oh, I'm a paedophile. Because obviously when we say paedophile, we are saying, we immediately think of, like, old man flashing a kid in a public toilet, you know. And that's not how they view themselves. So they've taken away that taboo. They've kind of semantically reclaimed, you know, linguistically they've reclaimed that term. So now we've covered what a paedophile or a minor attracted person, which I'm not saying, I will probably use that term only because I know that saying paedophile conjures up this image that's not exactly what I'm getting at, and I'm not immediately trying to draw your sympathy, you know, this is a decision you make for yourself, and you'll probably think I'm sick for drawing the conclusion I do, but it's worth now looking, I think, at why. I always find this very interesting, why people become or are paedophiles later in life. It's supposedly the average age of, you know, the most common age that someone has realised they are attracted to children is 14. I suppose that's because, obviously, you know, puberty comes around and you start having more sexuality developing and you realise, oh shit, I'm, you know, this is what I am. And obviously that can cause for a bit of an identity crisis. So they suggest, again, according, this is psychologically, that genetics might play a part in paedophilia. But we don't actually know, there's not been enough studies, obviously, because it's still massively taboo and not considered really worth researching. It's just, oh, if someone's attracted to a child, lock them up, right? But we don't know if that's to do with learned behaviour. You know, if you're in a household where paedophilia is normalised, you're obviously not going to be like, I'm not a paedophile. You wouldn't fight that, would you? Because it would be considered normal in your household. So we don't know if it's actually chemically, genetic, you know, biologically, or if it is just learned behaviour. The second reason suggested to be why people become paedophiles or are paedophiles is because of childhood sexual abuse. So a good example of this, I would suggest, is Michael Jackson, who is speculated to be, you know, one of the most renowned and ridiculed paedophiles in the music industry, although certainly not the only one we know about or don't know about. And it was actually speculated that he was abused as a child sexually. I mean, being a child star in, you know, his rise was, what, the 70s and 80s. So I wouldn't at all be shocked by that, unfortunately. And the reason that children who were sexually abused become paedophiles or develop attraction to minors is because they seek, you know, obviously you're going to be warped by your perception of sexuality and what intimacy means. You're going to seek that gratification through immoral means, and that means tend to be acting on sexual urges. So for example, Michael Jackson's Neverland, wasn't he called it, his weird house that he hosted children in. Obviously not a paedophile that I can sympathise with, because he acted on his urges, although I do of course feel bad that he was molested as a child. You know, he's a victim of paedophilia supposedly, and also a paedophile. Furthermore, hormones have been suggested to be a reason for paedophilia. They found, this is very interesting, and I don't mean to offend anyone who has these characteristics, that the majority of paedophiles, or people were more likely to be a paedophile if they were shorter, if they were on the shorter side, if they were left-handed, had a lower IQ, had had a head injury in childhood or early life, and had low white matter in their brain, which is basically the circuitry system. So essentially less brain material, brain fabric, as you might say, which is really interesting. They found, for just to add an addition onto that hormones bit, testosterone is the hormone they found to be particularly high in paedophiles and sex offenders, which is the aggressive hormone that men have more of than women, hence the aggressive stereotype or characteristic phenotype of men, which is why actually, well, maybe it's not the entire reason, but there are more men who are paedophiles than women, statistically. So obviously we don't know if women just aren't coming forward, or if more men have just acted on their urges than women. And the final reason, and this comes from an article I read on Quora, I think that's how you say it, Quora, really interesting website. It's like forums, sort of like the student room, but for really weird questions. There's a good subreddit actually called Insane People Quora, and it's like, should I beat my son for not finishing his broccoli? You know, you ask questions basically and people comment on it, like the student room. And an article said, you know, it was titled, should we be able to pity paedophiles or sympathise with paedophiles? And someone wrote an article and, you know, confessed that they were attracted to children. They said, you know, being an 18-year-old now, I was very sheltered, I was homeschooled, I didn't get to have, you know, a first crush, a first kiss, a first dance, because they were American, I think, and have feel that's the reason for their attraction to minor people. They said they would never offend, and have seeked cognitive behavioural therapy for their paedophilia. And we'll go into the treatments for paedophilia next. But I think it's very interesting that that should have been an article, and that is that kind of childhood neglect in a way, and lack of experience in childhood, sort of like Michael Jackson had, I think also another reason for his potential paedophilia was that he really didn't have much of a childhood. And therefore you try and seek that gratification or seek that lost childhood through other children, and that does turn sexual a lot of the time. But it's very interesting, I think. So let's talk about the treatment of paedophilia or minor sexual attraction. So if you tell a therapist, I think in the majority of countries, apart from Germany, I think, we will go more into that in a minute. If you tell a therapist that you are an attracted to minor person, or that you're attracted to minors, but haven't offended, for example, even at that, they will have to tell law enforcement, they have to tell the police, and that doesn't make you culpable, I think. Even if you haven't offended, I think that's sort of a cause for being put away, not put away, but at least being watched in a way. And I think that's very interesting that there's no confidentiality in telling someone that, for, you know, I need help, like, I feel, you know, it's interrupting my life, I can't function, I feel horrible, I feel like a monster, this is how I feel, I'm sexually attracted to children, and I don't know what's going on, I feel disgusting. Because I think, you know, I can't imagine not being able to seek help, for example, for any problem, and not feeling that there would be some confidentiality, but that is not the case, weirdly enough, and I kind of suspected that, because, you know, we treat paedophiles like monsters, and I don't know if I've convinced any of you yet, but that's not how I necessarily feel. If someone has not offended, of course, and is seeking help, because there's a big difference between a sex offender and someone who cannot choose their sexuality and has been potentially abused as a child, and now is cognitively a paedophile. Furthermore, CBT has been found, cognitive behavioural therapy, for those of you that don't know, has been found to be very useful in facilities that treat paedophiles and offenders, actually. They also set up family systems, so, you know, kind of like a buddy system, I guess, having someone to be with when you go out, you know, talking to someone, I suppose, having someone to reaffirm you as an offender or as someone who is, you know, with a paedophilic disorder, so someone that's been really interrupted by this. In conjunction with CBT and that kind of sorting out the brain, they also use medicine, and I thought this one was really interesting, but they actually use medicine that lowers your sex drive, which can be sometimes antidepressants, actually, if that's in conjunction with that, because that is a side effect of antidepressants anyway. Or they also use testosterone reduction medicines, because, like I say, testosterone is a large part of sexuality and a large part of aggression and libido, sex drive. So they do use that to lower sex drive, particularly in men, because it lowers that aggression. Hence why more men than women, as far as we know, I would suggest, are paedophiles, because of that testosterone, that aggression and that sexual drive. Not to suggest that women aren't both of those things, sexually driven and aggressive sometimes, but I think that hormone specifically plays a key part in treating paedophilia. There's also empathy training, which I thought was really interesting and was a bit like, what is empathy training? But obviously, as a paedophile, you're not necessarily going to be thinking about the consequences, especially if you're someone that suffered as a child, because you kind of, that would become normalised for you, right? You know, you were poorly treated and maybe even molested as a child, and now you're doing it to other children because you think that's normal. So empathy training shows the consequences, and I think also puts paedophiles in touch with people who have been offended as children, if that's not who they already were offended as a child. And that shows paedophiles the consequences of actually acting on their urges. So I suppose in a way that would work more for offenders than it would for non-offenders, because I think that would just drive non-offenders to suicide in a way. It's like, oh my god, what if I act on this urge? But also it could be very useful to be like, don't ever act on this urge, now here's some CBT, you know. So obviously as a society we are not at all accepting of people who say, I'm attracted to children, I need help. You know, if someone came to you as a therapist, you're a therapist, and someone comes to you and says, I'm attracted to children, I need help, you have to report them by law to authorities, and I think to Child Protection Agency. And I watched a documentary, I think it might have been Louis Theroux, I'm not entirely sure, it might not. I know it was, because he went and saw a teacher that was, she was a woman, and she'd had a relationship with a 14-year-old, or maybe it's a 13-year-old boy, while she was a teacher. She was like 30 years old. And they put offenders in special housing that's lowly populated in with children. Because I think there's a rule or a law for paedophiles and sex offenders of children that you cannot live within a certain amount of distance of children with a frequency of children. So if there's a high density of children in that area, paedophiles would not be welcome to live there legally and societally, of course. Furthermore, like I say, most paedophiles realise they're attracted to children at the age of 14, because, like I say, that's about puberty. And actually, only 40% of sex offenders that have harmed or offended children are psychologically considered paedophiles, which is interesting, because it might not necessarily be that they are attracted to children, but it could be more of a power thing, which means they're not actually attracted to children, and that's not their primary concern. It's just more about who's easy to offend, who is vulnerable, which is interesting. So only 40%, you know, I thought that's only 40% of people that have actually offended children, sex offenders, are considered paedophiles. So it's actually not paedophiles that are, you know, the majority of paedophiles are non-offenders, of course. And there's different levels, I suppose, of that taboo. And coming back to the idea of different types of paedophilia, so obviously there's nepiophiles, the properly young children, toddler attracted people, pedos, and ephebophiles. And I can't say it and I can't spell it, certainly. But that's obviously the ages of, I think, what did I say last time, like 11 to 16. And that almost, like I said, feels less weird, but shouldn't it all be on the same level of disgusting? I suppose because as you get older, you know, there's kind of a logic behind finding it less gross than being attracted to a literal baby. But it almost feels like, for example, in films and literature, that's kind of been romanticised to an extent. Like Lolita, obviously, still very controversial. I'm not saying at all that it flies under the radar. But there have been, you know, Romeo and Juliet, I think he was like, what was he, like 18 and she was like 15. Like, that's obviously not, you know, even the 5-year gap is not there. But it's still like we kind of validate what could be considered paedophilia when it's of teenagers, and particularly teenage girls. I suppose also with teenage boys, because we expect, you know, their sexuality is rampant, even if it actually is. It doesn't mean it should be cause for validation of older women or men grooming what are legally, in the eyes of the law, children, even if they're boys, of course. But yeah, I mean, I can certainly say, coming, I think I mentioned this in a few episodes, or maybe in the episode about misogyny nowadays, I was certainly catcalled, whistled at, honked at, yelled at, looked at weirdly more in school uniform than I am now that I don't wear school uniform, as a 17-year-old versus being 14, 15, 13 even, you know. And I think that's really interesting. It's almost a level of acceptance of ephebophilia, that level of paedophilia that gears towards older children. I think that is what makes me angry. That's where my level of acceptance obviously stops. Because I think ephebophilia is far more accepted and romanticised and validated. You know, girls are honked at in their school skirts and their blazers, and it's like, oh, you know, men will be men. You know, cheeky builders, what they like. Paedophiles is what they're like. And you're telling me we can't accept paedophiles that come forward looking for help and don't offend versus men that literally catcall children, in the eyes of the law, children, teenagers or not, on the street. And it's disgusting. I don't understand. There's no logic. And it repulses me in many ways. So the primary argument that I've seen surrounding paedophilia is, can it be considered a sexuality? And can it be grouped as part of the LGBT community? And I think that I'm very indecisive when it comes to this, and I'll tell you why. Because linguistically, in terms of language, does validating it as a sexuality, saying I'm a minor attracted person, morally validate it? And I would suggest that no is the answer. If you think of, I don't think that it makes it morally okay. I don't think there's any suggestion that it is okay if it's considered a sexuality. Well, I suppose it's considered a paraphilia, which is an extreme sexual, what we would consider perversion or extreme kink or fetish, because that is essentially what it is. Saying it's a fetish or a kink for children doesn't make it moral. It just concretes it as what it is, which is immoral if it's acted on, of course. and immoral, even if it's thought about or viewed and contributes towards the destruction and detriment of children's well-being. However, I think, and hear me out, the concept of LGBT, of course, was born out of struggle and non-acceptance of society, and celebrates that indifference to hatred that they feel in society. But I also think the concept of LGBT is simply othering and heteronormative, because it's saying, you know, we're pigeonholing everyone that isn't a straight person into this community, you know, with gay pride flags and rainbows. If you're not straight, then here, you're in the LGBT group, right? And trans is not even a sexuality. Being a trans person is a gender in itself. Well, of course, if you're a trans woman, you're a woman. If you're a trans man, you're a man, right? But it's not a sexuality. It's not to do with who you're attracted to. So it's literally, the concept of LGBT, surely it should be LGBTQA. No, not even an A, because that's androgynous, intersex. That's got nothing to do with sexuality. It's just got to do with not being straight or cis. It's just everything that's not normal. And I'm doing air quotes for normal, because obviously, you know, what is normal? What is societally accepted as foundational, basic? So I think the concept of LGBT in itself is very flawed, although if we consider it a united front against not being accepted, then I completely accept that that should be its primary purpose. Getting a little bit off track, but some say, and I kind of don't really agree with this, but some say if LGBT is a group, a front for not being accepted by society, then why not paedophilia be a sexuality? Not necessarily grouped in with the LGBT community, because paedophilia obviously is not something that needs to be celebrated at all, and should in fact be treated as a mental health condition, in my opinion, and many others as well. But I think the concept of LGBTQIA is flawed, because it looks into sexuality and gender and anything that is not considered societally foundational and normal, you know. And also labels. Massive problem with labels. I don't like it. I don't like the concept of being like, oh my god, what if I'm bi? What if I'm gay? What if I'm straight? What if I'm attracted to everyone in between? Why not just fancy who you want? I'm really getting off topic now, and I think this deserves an episode of itself, frankly. I suppose the primary argument against putting paedophilia as a sexuality, or even associating it with LGBT communities, is because it could be considered offensive, and I kind of agree with that. That's why I've decided I don't think paedophilia should be considered part of the LGBT community, because it's not something that should be celebrated. It should not be part of a united front. It should be something that is accepted, tolerated, and treated as a mental health condition, because it's not something that's chosen. And I feel very strongly about this, because I feel that it's a sexuality, it's a paraphilia, it's an immoral paraphilia. But it's not, you know, even cannibalism, we look at it like it's, you know, it's tribal, for example. We consider it of kind of foreign background. But paedophilia has this massive taboo, of course. Why do I sound like I'm literally sympathising with paedophiles right now? I'm trying simply to open your mind, your third eye, not euphemistically. But I'm also kind of trying to change my mind. I don't want to hate people for no reason. I don't want to hate someone that's not chosen a sexuality. I feel pity for someone that will never feel normal, that will feel like a monster for the whole of their life, even if they don't offend, even if they seek help. They will never be able to walk down the street and feel normal unless they get treated properly and just have no affiliation with being attracted to children ever again. Because it's not something that you choose. That's what I think is really interesting, the idea that you do not choose to be attracted to children. You don't, you know, I sound ridiculous, but it's because we think we suggest that we're this very forward-thinking society, but we don't accept people for what they are, even if they contribute nothing and they want help to the detriment of children. But it's very difficult. There's a fine line, isn't there, between being very passive in your paedophilia and actually being an offender versus seeking help, because I would consider not doing anything just as bad, basically. Well, not just as bad, but I think if you're a paedophile and you don't seek help, and we'll go into how you can get that now, because in Germany, they treat non-offending paedophiles as pretty well, basically. They don't, you know, they have CBT groups, for example, that if you tell a therapist in Germany that you are a paedophile or that you feel attracted to children, that you have this paraphilia, they're not going to take it to the law enforcement, so they're not going to report you. They will refer you to a specialist, I actually think. It could be considered a specialism, I suppose. And that's very... I think that's on the rise, to be honest, because I think we're moving and progressing towards fixing people. You know, we cannot consider ourselves a civilised society if we leave behind those with mental health disorders and kind of detriments that we consider immoral or do not facilitate a good quality of life. And that is what paedophilia does. Of course, they're not going to be able to live a normal life. And I would consider that almost a handicap in a way. It is a handicap of life. And it's a mental handicap because you're not living your best quality of life should you have not had this attraction and that sexuality that is taboo for good reason, like I say, but still not chosen. So if there's kind of also a debate that's like, if, you know, let's say if men can be gynecologists, if straight men can be gynecologists, why can't paedophiles, for example, be teachers, paediatricians? Why are they not allowed? In a utopian society, I think non-offending paedophiles that got treated and didn't feel so extremely afraid to be around children that they thought what they would offend would be able to work with children and live near children because they would never have... they would never offend, for example, and would have to trust that. And I wonder what would actually happen if that were the case. I don't know how well it would work, because I don't know how many would actually offend. I really don't know the inner workings of statistics and reoffending and offending for paedophiles and sex offenders. But like I say, it's actually more sex offenders that aren't considered paedophiles that offend than actual, you know, people with paedophilic sexuality / disorders. But yeah, like I say, if men can be gynecologists that are attracted to women and are sexually aroused by the sight of a woman, especially her literal sexual organs, and we don't have a problem with men being gynecologists, but we would have a problem with paedophiles or minor attractive. It just sounds so weird. If you take all of this out of context, I'm just sat here being like, free the pedo, you know, pedo and the swan for my peep show lovers out there. But I'm really not. Obviously, I'm very feminist. I feel very strongly that it's not, you know, there's a very thick line between moral and immoral, and it's not hard to not be a wanker, essentially. It's just interesting, isn't it? You know, in a utopian society with no judgment and no censorship, I would be able to say this and not sound like a massive tit. But unfortunately, that is not what we live in. So I don't know if I've convinced you or not. I feel pretty convinced that we should be able to treat paedophiles cautiously. You know, I don't immediately think we should put paedophiles that have not offended into a position where they have access to children, because that's Jimmy Savile, isn't it? You know, it's asking for trouble. Because he obviously had access to hospitals, children hospitals, but he was, again, an offender in power and was what I would consider a sociopath or a psychopath of some kind, with no empathy at all, and I don't think empathy training would have helped him whatsoever, because he was a bastard. But there's this organisation called Prostasia, I'm not sure how to say it, but it's a child protection agency. I think they're global, but I don't think they're British, I think they might be American. And they work with children and for paedophiles. They work for people that are attracted. They call them MAPs, minor attracted people. And they work to change the minds of paedophiles, change the lives of paedophiles that haven't offended, obviously. Because being, like I say, being a sex offender and being a paedophile is very different. I think that's really interesting. I think that's going to become normal, and I'm grateful for it to be. You know, if we can't educate and, you know, it's kind of like this idea of if you want to abolish the prison system, then you also need to be on side with this, I think. Because to say just incarcerate anyone that's ever had an attraction to a child but has never acted on it and wants help is not... I just don't think it's forward thinking, and I think to be truly liberal in your thinking, this is something that we need to consider as a society. I really do hope that I've opened up your chakras and let you think about something new today, and whether or not you've made the decision that you think paedophilia should be treated as a mental health condition, as I feel it should be, and should be treated in an institution rather than criminalised, providing it's not acted on, because I think you can be a sick bastard and act on something and be a sex offender and not deserve respect, of course, the same way that we treat other people, I think. But, you know, it's up to you to make that decision. And I hope you feel that I've opened your third eye, that I've let you think about something weird and controversial. And I hope to have a lot more controversial podcast episodes. That I just find it really weird, the concept that you can think something is completely wrong and that I can think I'm completely right. I've never understood that. I don't know how we can't all see each other's points of views. Maybe I'm just really thick. But anyway, thank you very much for sitting through that absolute shit fest of me sympathising with people who are attracted to children, but don't act on it, may I reiterate. No sympathy for the bastards that touch children. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I will see you next time.